Blog Talk Radio.
Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Welcome to Woman to Woman with Pastor Rebecca, Prophetess Angie Singletary, and Tina Michelle. God bless you, and thank you so much for calling in. It's a great day to be alive, and it's a great day to be serving God in the kingdom. Amen. God is good and worthy to be praised. Amen. So we're excited. We're excited about what God is going to do today. I want to let you know that the chat room is open. The chat room is open, so you can go on into the chat room and begin to fellowship with the women who will be gathering there very shortly. I'm going to just go ahead and bring my co-host on. Prophetess, God bless you.
God bless you today. How are you?
I'm doing really well. How are you today?
I'm doing well, thank you.
Good. And I believe Tina is here also. Tina, God bless you.
God bless you. God bless you.
Good morning. Hey. Good afternoon.
It's afternoon here. So for you, you're an East Coaster, so it's afternoon for you as well.
Well, yeah, actually it is, because I'm still up and on meeting starting at 5:30 in the morning because it's 7:30.
Yeah.
Over there. Exactly. So it's hard to adjust.
And now, how long have you been in Arizona now?
Since November 18th.
So we're talking
About 3 months.
3 months. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Okay. And you're still on this the East Coast schedule with your business call and your early morning call.
Yeah, absolutely. I still have a lot of East Coast clients. So they're all over the country. So I feel like I have just more hours. And certain days I work a straight 16 to 18. And certain days I just get up when I feel like it and, you know, call the people I want to call. But lately it's been a straight 16, 18, about 4 days a week. And then the other few days I try to unplug.
Yeah, you definitely have to take some downtime. You know, we need that Sabbath. We have to take a Sabbath.
Oh, yeah.
It's a day of total R&R, rest and relaxation.
And recreation. I love that word.
And recreation.
Amen.
So we're going to just go ahead and open in prayer. And then we're going to move forward and just do what God wants us to do. Prophetess, why don't you go ahead and open us in prayer?
Amen. Father God, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we thank you, O God. Lord, we thank you for this is the day that you have made, and allow us to rejoice and be glad in it. Lord, we thank you for blessing us and keeping us up into this present time. Lord, we thank you, O God, even for the broadcast, O God, that we are about to take part in. Lord, we ask that you would just bless everyone that's a part of this particular event. Lord, we ask that you would just bless the host, bless the co-host, O God, and even bless those women that are streaming via the chat room, those that will call in. Lord, we ask that you would just allow your will to be done through our lives, O God. Allow us to go forth, O God, so that someone would be encouraged, delivered, strengthened, and set free. Lord, we thank you for victory in your name through your Son, Jesus. And Lord, we ask that you would just bind up everything, O God, that would try to hinder everything that you would allow to go forth, O God. The words, O God, hallelujah, that comes out of our mouth, O God, allow them not to be our words, O God. But, Lord, we ask that you would just word our mouths, O God, direct our paths, O God, lead us, O God, into the areas, O God, in which you would have us to go forth in. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Before we get started, I want to just get some announcements out. I want to start with Prophetess. Your sister, Lakeisha, is ministering at a women's conference on this weekend. I believe it's Saturday.
Yeah.
Do you have that information?
Let's see.
Do have listeners in the Virginia area. So, and also she's doing something in April. And I know she sent me an email on that. So if you don't have it, I can pull up that email. Do you have those events?
Okay, I have the one up as concerning this weekend. My sister's a part of their women's conference, and the theme is Women with a Heart Chasing After God. And the dates for this is February 20th, 21st, and 22nd. So it's going to start this coming Friday night, also take place on Saturday and Sunday, and it's hosted at Praise Tabernacle Ministries. And the address is 120 Wyck Street, that's W-Y-C-K Street, Suite 301, and that's going to be taking place in Richmond, Virginia, where their overseer is Robert D. Wise.
Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. So if you're in the Virginia area or if you know someone in the Virginia area, you want to tell them about this particular women's conference that's coming up on this weekend starting tomorrow. I know Minister Evangelist Lakeisha Singletary, and she is an anointed woman of God. She was at our church on this past Sunday, and she's always a blessing. She always comes in full. Amen. She comes in full of the Holy Ghost, and she walks with a special anointing. So I believe she's ministering on Saturday.
Yes, yes.
Amen. I believe she's going forward on Saturday, but I know that the whole conference is going to be blessed. So if you're in the Virginia area, go ahead and partake of the whole weekend because you are sure to be blessed. And then on April, there's another event that she sent me a flyer for, and I have that right here on my computer. We just want to get these. I want to let people know what's happening, especially
Amen.
Women.
Amen.
Especially women, because we need to be continually poured into our lives. We need to be continually poured into. And this April the 25th event is April the 25th. And believe it or not, April is right around the corner.
Yes.
he is having, as a woman, I should know. The theme of that day is a woman I should know. And is the flyer says, join us for an empowering day of getting to know you, that you are beautiful, that you're lovely, that you're worth it.
Amen.
A day of divas experience.
Yeah.
There's a musical extravaganza with artists of all kinds, prizes, and much more. And vendors are welcome. If vendors want to contact her to actually be a part of this, she's taking food vendors and vendors. I guess with anything that will be able to come. There's a concert. Now, this is powerful. There is a concert at 7 p.m.
Amen.
So the event is going to take place from 11 o'clock in the morning until 5 o'clock in the evening. So that's from 11 to 5. And there will be food vendors, like I said. The admission is only a $10 offering. And then there is a concert at 7 p.m. You don't even need to you don't even have to pay for that. You know, if you're there for the day, you can go right to the concert.
Mm-hmm.
If you come for the concert, then they are asking that you give a $7, a $10 offering.
Mm-hmm.
But it is going to be powerful.
Yes,
you
amen.
Want to miss it. And that is going to be taking place at the Shannon. Okay, I'm going
Shenandoah.
Shenandoah.
It's the Shenandoah Clubhouse.
Mm-hmm. The Shenandoah Clubhouse. We need a real Virginia, somebody who knows about
uh-huh. Virginia is my home, too, y'all.
Okay, praise God.
So you know the Shenandoah Clubhouse, and that's at 9601 Red Bridge Road in Richmond, Virginia. So,
mm-hmm.
And for more information, you can call 804-687-9944
Amen.
Or 804-263-7461. And that's our very own sister, a prophetess Singletary, evangelist Lakeisha Singletary is sponsoring that event. And the first one is with her church. Do we have a website for the church, prophetess?
If there is, Pastor, I don't know it at this time. Mm-hmm.
Okay. So that is the information for that.
Yeah.
And we want to welcome Dana Neal to the chat room. God bless you, Dana Neal. Listen, women.
And Dana.
Hey, Dana, listen, if you are streaming, if you're listening on a regular basis, call somebody, email somebody, and tell them about Woman to Woman. There is no way that this chat room should not be full, you know, with the information that's being put forth on this broadcast. So call somebody and tell them about Woman to Woman. Email someone. I know Dana's doing it. I know the prophetess and Tina Michelle are doing it. And I do it every
mm-hmm.
single Thursday. Come on, tell somebody about this broadcast so that we can pour into the lives of women everywhere. I tell you, God is up to something.
Oh, yeah.
He is up to something.
Oh, yeah.
Do we have any more announcements? Do we have any more announcements of
Pastor,
what's going on?
We want to announce our upcoming events for NCCM.
Yes, absolutely. Go ahead, Prophetess.
Okay.
I didn't forget. Go ahead. That's why I have you, Prophetess. Go ahead.
New Creation Christian Ministries, we are going to move in the month of March into our 4 days of fire. And I believe the dates are March 24th, starting on March 24th, which is a Tuesday, and it will conclude on that Friday, March 27th. So that's Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, our 4 days of fire. Myself, I'll be going forth on that Tuesday, and we are located in Elizabeth, New Jersey, 87 First Street, where our wonderful pastors are Pastors Anthony and Pastor Rebecca Simmons. And I'll be going forth on that Tuesday, the 24th. Let's see, Pastor Anthony is going to be going forth on that Wednesday, the 25th. On that Thursday, we have Prophetess Diane Jackson who's going to be going forth. And to conclude the matter, we have our very own Apostle Tillery from Rocky Mount, North Carolina. So
Amen.
This is going to be a wonderful, powerful event. Praise God. So if you're in the Elizabeth area, we'd love for you to come over and fellowship with us. 4 days of fire.
Yes.
Four days of breakthrough.
Wonderful.
And we're just looking for God to move mightily through the services. So please, if your schedule allows you to be there, come on out and fellowship with us.
I'm excited. I'm excited. And if you can't make it any of those 4 days, and I know you can, but make it those 4 days and then come on back out on Sunday because
Amen.
I will be going forth on Sunday. So it's 4 days with a bonus. Amen. So we're excited. I relinquished my spot. You know, I was like, you know what, I was going to go forth on Tuesday, but we prayed about it, and Pastor Anthony and I both came into agreement that we wanted Prophetess Singletary to kick this thing off, and
Amen.
We know that she's going to bring the fire, and I said, you know what, I will go ahead and close it out on Sunday for those
Amen.
Who will be led to come back on Sunday. But I tell you, by the time I hit the pulpit on Sunday, I tell you, I don't even know if I'm going to be able to stand. I'm talking about I'm going to be preaching, but the glory of the Lord might be in that place so magnificently.
There's no telling what's going to happen.
Oh, it's going to be just so exciting. So we're excited. We're looking for a revival. We're looking for a resurrection of the saints, you know, to be standing up. A lot of saints are dying in the winter, and we're looking for spiritual resurrection.
Yeah.
My God, we're looking for redirection from the Lord to what he would have us to do next. And we're just so excited. We're just really, really so excited. I'm excited. I'm going to
Amen.
Be sitting in there just really all 4 days. A fire, and I'm going to be just really looking forward to what God is doing in this season in our house at New Creation Christian Ministries.
Amen.
So that's it for our announcements. I believe we might have one more later on. I want to even talk about what's going on in Rocky Mount, North Carolina with our Apostle Tillery.
Amen.
They're having an anniversary service. I don't have that information, so we'll bring that in later on at the end of the broadcast.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Wow.
Amen.
Wow. If I wasn't a member, I'd join.
Sounds like some powerful stuff going on over there.
Wow.
Praise the Lord.
I felt God. When she was announcing that, I sure felt God.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Yes. Praise the Lord. That's exciting stuff, ladies, as I sit here in Arizona.
Amen.
That fire will hit here. I'll join you guys in prayer.
Amen.
I was talking to a sister yesterday, and she said to me, after I finished talking to her, and we were, you know, we had a little meeting talking about joint ventures and how we like to network, but we don't know how to partner, right? And powerfully, how to partner powerfully. And so she said, Tina, you bring heat. I said, I bring the heat, but God brings the rain.
Amen.
I said, God brings the rain because it's a secular environment, you know. And so they were looking at me. She was like, oh, you saved? I said, I'm born again, full of spirit, and saved from myself. My God. I was like, you know, God is good in this time because people are all over the marketplace. They're all over the marketplace. And God, to me, they're like these little spies, these little soldiers. You go into a secular arena, you don't even know who's there. And then all of a sudden you say one word.
Yeah.
Like God brings the rain, it everybody comes to attention, and all of a sudden the believers start to collect, and they begin to get energized because they know what I'm saying.
Yeah.
And then they start to testify about God, and it's a secular arena, and it becomes an awesome, awesome experience where we're just overthrowing these dark places, overthrowing them just in one word. One word from God changes the game. So I know you got 4 days of words.
Yeah.
Coming from the throne room of God, you're about to change the whole world. And Elizabeth, New Jersey, is about to get ready for revival.
Amen. I receive it.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus. And it is. It is really a time for us to go into the marketplace, you know, and to let it be known that we are there, you know.
Yes, amen.
Bible talks about the fact that the whole earth is groaning, you know, groaning, waiting for manifestation of the sons and daughters of God, you know, and think about it, is not that there are not Christians all over everywhere that you go, but legitimate sons and daughters are rare to be found. And this is what God is saying, you know, to be called a son, to be called a daughter, you know, I mean, that's a privilege beyond any other, to be called a son or a daughter of God.
Praise the Lord.
Know,
amen.
My God. You know, and then we when we go into these places and we represent, we must continually, like the lady said to you, Tina Michelle, that you bring the heat. We must continually bring the fire of into these secular environments. Into these secular environments, and make sure that God is getting the glory through it all.
Amen.
My God. It's just so important. Even now, you know, with everything that's going on, you know, recently President Barack Obama just signed this huge stimulus package, you know, and, you know, so much is going on around that. And even as I'm speaking of that, I'm just getting a visualization of something that really upset me this morning, about 1 o'clock this morning when I was looking at the internet. I should have been in bed. But what really upset me was this New York Post thing. I don't know if you're familiar with that.
Oh, yeah. It's being commented on all over Facebook this morning. And all I can say is, really? Picture? I mean, you're talking about that picture?
Yes. Yeah, and I don't know if you've seen the picture, you know.
It's a posting of what is it?
I'm sorry?
It's a posting of what is it, Pastor?
It is there was a chimpanzee that mauled the friend of the owner.
Oh yes, yes.
Ago.
Right, right.
And the police had to come in and shoot the chimpanzee.
Yes.
So they actually killed the animal.
Okay.
And there is a comic that they posted in the New York Post on page 6. Whatever that is, and the comic has the police shooting up the chimpanzee, and then it says they're going to have to now give someone else to write the next stimulus bill.
Oh my God!
Oh my God!
I did not see that.
That thing hit me so hard.
It really, you know, in this day and time, you know, it really messed with me. Whatever we think about President Barack Obama and his policies, you know, the thing about it is that we have to know that racism, and I got a lot of fire the last time I talked about this, but we have to realize that racism is still very much real.
Yeah.
You know, when I looked at that thing, I was like, my God, what are they endorsing? Shooting the president?
Right.
Or shooting black folk? I mean, because we know that black people used to be compared to monkeys.
Right.
You know,
right. Exactly.
And actually,
people actually believe. I remember being in Switzerland when I was of the ripe age of 17 years old.
And this is, you don't even know how to take this when you're a kid, right? We went to a countryside, little area, right outside of Zurich. And it was the area where they had cheese and milk. And I was with a bunch of teenagers because it was a teen challenge type of thing. And one of the older people, I think they were Italian, Swiss, looked at us, and then she had a chair. Now, this is a real story. She had a chair on her lawn next to hers, and the chair had a hole in the back. And her son was saying, don't ask her what it is. You know, don't ask her what it is. It's very embarrassing. And she literally had a chair with a hole in the back in case a black person came and they needed room for their tail.
Yeah, and that's what I'm saying, you know, that's so archaic. You know, I mean, because, you know, look, we have gotten so beyond. I mean, there are many people, black and white, who have gotten so beyond this racism thing and so beyond this white supremacy thing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, we're just over it, but there's a remnant. There's a few that just won't let it go, you know.
Right.
And that's the thing. And we don't. I don't even look at it as a black and white thing. I look at it as a good and evil thing.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
You know, it is. It's a good and an evil thing because we know that Satan is behind racism.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so we have to look at it through spiritual eyes. You know, the world looks at things just on the surface of things, but we also have to look at it through spiritual eyes and see it as evil. Anytime that you can hate somebody because of the color of their skin, you know, then you know that that's just evil. You know, it's just evil. It's just wicked. You know, that's demonic. You know, because it's not, we are not to be judged on the color of our skin, you know, for God's sake.
Amen.
You know, the Bible tells us that there's now no Jew nor Gentile, you know, Greek nor whatever. You know, I'm just, you know, not even getting
Amen.
The scripture.
Amen. Mm-hmm.
But the Bible clearly says that in Christ Jesus, we are all one. We are all the same. You know, there God is no respecter of persons. And let's go back to the Garden of Eden. I mean, when you go back to the garden, what you have to realize is that if you believe the Bible is true, and it is, then you have to believe that we all came as ancestors of Adam and Eve, one man and one woman.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we just have to believe that.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the races came later. We could go into a whole discussion about how race came about, but it did not come about to put one group of people above another group of people.
Amen.
You know, and that's the thing that we have to get. So I just want to challenge everybody out there who's listening. You know, if you have a hatred in your heart, if you have animosity in your heart towards somebody because they're black or because they're white, because we do now have what I call reverse discrimination and, you know, reverse racism, you know, where we have as black
people. And internalized racism.
And internalized, right, where you hate yourself. Because of the color of your skin. If you have any of that going on, just go to the altar and pray. You know, go to the throne room and pray and ask God to help you to love your neighbor as yourself. Your neighbor is anybody, black, white, Japanese, you know, Chinese, European, you know, African, you know, the people from all over the world. God is calling us to the greatest commandment, which is love. That's the royal commandment, and that is love. And we have to love each other, you know, and forget about race. You know, I just want to talk about that just for a minute to just let people know that there is still so much animosity going on because of the color of our skin, and we just have to deal with that. But even in the church, you know, we're talking about the world. The world let's just say the world maybe doesn't know any better.
Right.
But even in the church, we still have the white church and the black church and the Chinese church and the Japanese church. You know,
it's quoted as Sunday morning is one of the most segregated times in the United States because of the fact that the churches are stratified by race. Because of the churches. I remember hearing that quote from Barna Research, which is one of my favorite research hubs, that, you know, on Sunday morning, we're more stratified, separated by race than any other time in this country.
And a lot of, a huge part of that is because churches are centralized in certain neighborhoods. Mm-hmm. And I just want to acknowledge John McPaul from the John McPaul Show. God bless you and welcome. And you can post the information about your show also so that we can check you out. Also, I want to welcome Pastor Sherry Jones and my very dear daughter in the faith, Mrs. D. Neal. We want to welcome you all in. I mean, we're talking a little
welcome,
bit.
Welcome.
This is woman to woman, but, you know, this is something also, you might say, well, you're not talking about girl issues or things of that nature, but these are girl issues.
Mm-hmm.
You know, women are concerned with politics, women are concerned with racism, women are concerned
right.
with all kinds of issues
right. mm-hmm.
in the world. It's not just about relationships and raising mm-hmm. kids. So
getting our hair done dead.
And getting our hair done dead and our nails done dead. And so he did this and he did that. But we want to also, John McPaul says he loves the show. Thank you. We appreciate the vote of confidence. To God be the glory. But the thing about it is, okay, God bless you, Pastor Sherry. We'll see you later. Do your work. Do the right thing. Just do the right thing. But the thing about it is, you know, a lot of the parts of the fact that we have black churches is because you have centralized locations. You know, the black church is normally in a black neighborhood. You know, mm-hmm. so, of course, you're not going to have white people coming from, their neighborhoods to come into the black neighborhood to go to church. They may very well just go around the corner down the street and go to a church in their neighborhood. That's why you would have a white person going to a predominantly white church or a black person going to a predominantly black church, you know. But when you have a melting pot like the city that we live in where you have people of all races, then you will probably see people of all nationalities coming into that church. So we can't say that we segregate ourselves on purpose because I don't think that's the case. But what I do see is that you will find more black folk going over to a church that's led by a white pastor than you going outside of their cities to get to the church. Then you will find then you will find white people going over out of their cities to get to a church that's led by a black pastor.
Amen.
So I do find that is common. But what we have to do is stop calling the church the black church or the white
mm-hmm.
church. You know,
mm-hmm.
it's God's church for God's
that's
sake.
That's right. And there's only one race, the race of humans.
Oh,
that's
we
it.
Have a caller. Okay, I'm so sorry because I didn't even have my switchboard open. Thank you so much, John. We have a caller, and I'm going to put you on the air. God bless you, and welcome. Welcome to Woman to Woman.
Hello, can you hear me?
Yes, we can hear you.
Okay, I'm just checking out the show. I love what you guys are talking about. The whole racial thing, I hope that one day we can overcome it ourselves. But it has to start within the heart first. If you have so much hatred for an individual, then you must be hating on yourself because that's a reflection of who you are. So
yeah.
I really appreciate you guys addressing this issue.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And that's
yeah,
all I
thank
want
you.
To say.
Wow. Well, we sure do appreciate you calling in, and we never know what we're going to talk about. We're led by the Spirit, and we usually just go with the flow of the Holy Ghost. And I believe that this is something that God is very concerned with.
Amen. Amen.
I'm calling in from Detroit, Michigan, and from a standpoint from Detroit, everything is racial. If you lose your job, if you lose your home, just the way you get harassed from the police, depending on where you're at, it's all racial. And the sad part about it, it's even creeped into the church. That's
my
the
God.
Sad part about it.
Mm. So you're seeing it, you're from Detroit, so you're seeing it just across the board.
It's across the board. And what I tell people is that it's a good thing that God is colorblind. He made us all for a reason. We're not going to get into the kingdom he's going to separate us by race or, you know, whatever language we speak. He's not going to do that. It's going to be based off, first, accepting Jesus. Second, just having a repentant heart. And third, just acknowledging that we are his, whether you know that or not. He made us in his image. It's just a lot of people made a lot of bad decisions and refused to to accept him, but Christ died for the world who hates him to even today.
Amen.
My God. My God. And that's a key point that you made, that if we have that much hatred for another individual just based on the color of their skin, then we must have a certain level of self-hatred. You know,
yes.
If we can't love our neighbor, you know, and that's what the commandment is about. It says, love the Lord your God with everything in you, and then love your neighbor as yourself. But a lot of us, like you, a lot of us can't even love ourselves. So that's where I believe that pinpoints the beginning of the issue, that a lot of people mm-hmm. that hate based mm-hmm. on race, it extends even further to themselves, that they don't even like themselves. They hate themselves.
Exactly.
Wow.
Yes.
Wow.
And
that's
then Romans 13:8 clearly states, we don't owe anyone anything but love
them. And I want to just thank the brother for calling in. Thank you so much for calling in. John McFall, do you have a show here on Block Talk Radio?
Oh, yeah. It's the John McFall Show. It's on www.blogtalkradio.com/John, J-O-H-N, dash M-A-C. I'm on every Saturday between 2 and 4, and God has allowed me to deal with the whole issue of child support and how it's affecting our families, and just from the courtroom to the church, all the way, I mean, from all spectrums. And so that's what I'm dealing with here, just letting people know that they think the child support was not a biblical issue. And I said it was. When Moses allowed for them to get a divorce, he wrote up a certain rules in which they need to abide by during that separation. And even when the whole situation with Sarah and Abraham,
yes,
still things given to make sure these kids were okay. So I try to bring a biblical perspective to the whole child support and try to remove all the hate and anger and the bitterness. If people laid down to have these kids, it wasn't hate at that time. Why
that's
is it
right.
Hate enough? You know, I just thank God for the platform He's given me. I thank God for the platform that you guys have also, that we can reach the heart of His people.
Yes. Amen. That is so true. So do you, based on the child support issue, do you believe that a woman should actually go for child support from the father of her child, whether it's...
My first reaction to that is that you probably need to sit down with your pastor first. And if it's a situation where you guys have a decent relationship, go before the elders in the church and try to work it out.
The law
in some ways can do its job, but the law is designed, if you're dealing with child support, it's a punishment, because if you don't pay, you go to jail. If you don't pay, you lose your license. If you don't pay, there's so many things you can't do if you don't pay. Well, so I think we need to stay out the courtroom and go to our pastors, and even if you go to a different church, just sit down and try to work this out. God has called us to come into His house and work these issues out, not go to a courtroom, because they're against us anyway.
Yes.
It's a testimony even when we show up.
My God, that's powerful. That is powerful, because we talked about that last week. We talked about baby daddies, and one of the things that we didn't deal with was the child support, the lack of payment, and also the fact that the father may not be spending time with the children. So I think it's excellent. That is excellent that you said to go to the church, go to the pastor and the elders of the church first to see if you can work something out there without taking it to the courts, because that's what the Bible tells us to do. That is awesome.
Well, I want to make one more comment before I go. But I made a statement to a young girl yesterday. She was complaining about the dad. You know, the dad don't do this. I said, let me tell you how men think. I'm not quite sure how women figure this out, but men think like this. If you give him his child and he sees that his child's face is dirty, he's going to clean it. If he sees that his hair is out of order, he's going to get it cut. If he sees him with shoes that's real dirty and got holes in them, he's going to go buy shoes. If you give him the kid, you will see that he can take care of it. Just give him to him.
Wow.
Because your kid is a reflection of who you are. You're not going to run around dirty. You're not going to let your kid run around dirty. Just hanging out with your dad, the kid's going to say, Daddy, I'm hungry. Dad's going to buy some food for him. Dad, I got a field trip coming up. Dad's going to pay for it. But if you let him see there's a real need and remove the law from him and let him see the need, then his reaction is completely different.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what a lot of women miss that. I understand that everybody want support. Just because you go to a courtroom don't mean you're going to get the money.
That's true.
You're going to be in the
system.
I met a man, I had lunch with a man because I do child support, and a lot of people know that in Michigan. I had lunch with a man who just finished paying child support. He's 74 years old.
Mm.
Wow.
Right, and he just, you can just look at his face and see the stress of going in and out of court. And I'm like, man, there's for one, you need to go to God, because if you cannot pay, you need to get on your knees and go before God and ask him to show you a way to pay. He may not take it from you, but he'll make it easy for you to meet that need. But we need to go to the master who created all this. He has the answers.
Wow. Wow. And that's why we have to go do it God's way. You know, God never intended for us to have babies out of wedlock, nor did he intend for us to be divorced once we got married and started those families. And when we begin to get back in line with not the Lord, but with the will of God, then we will be able to have healthier, more well-balanced children. But our children are really suffering with this child support thing and using our children as pawns. And all of this stuff that's going on, like you said, give the man the child. A lot of women are so emotionally attached to that man that it grieves them even to see the man moving on. And so what they want to do is try to make the man suffer by using the child. Mm-hmm. And then the man doesn't suffer, but the child suffers.
That's right. That's what I've seen so many times, that, you know, the children didn't ask to be in that situation. So we got to ask, what are the impacts on the children? I know, being recently divorced, the agreements that my ex and I have are just wonderful. You know, they're wonderful agreements, but we decided together, we sat down, we had a cup of coffee, we looked at what would happen, we've made a plan, we looked at the college fund, we looked at everything, and we agreed that the divorce has nothing to do with the babies. And that they need to still be supported, and they need to, you know, be productive. And then I agreed that when he has to, because he travels a lot, when he wants to see the children, you know, it was not going to be a push and pull situation, because it has nothing to do with the kids. The kids love their daddy, their mommy, and they have to keep moving and be supported so that they won't perpetuate the same behavior.
Yeah. Wow, we have a caller who's been holding for a few minutes. And again, I want to thank you so much for calling in, my brother, Dom McFall. Thank you so much for calling in and adding insight. I don't know if this caller wants to speak on the child support issue, but you can stay with us just in case they have something that you want to add to. Area code 908, you're on the air. Welcome to Women to Women.
Hello. Thank you.
Thank you so much for holding on with us.
Hey, listen, this is good stuff, I tell you. You know what? You all have some of the greatest topics, but it's so real. Oh, it's so real. I mean, I had to deal with child support. I don't have any children, but I married a man which I, you know, started dating. When I met him, his daughter was in the sixth grade. And so we married a year and a half later, and so I've had to live with child support. I had to live with, you know, some battles. Unfortunately, there were some, and I've lived with the kind of situations where some parents, you know, are like, they use the child as, I don't know, leverage, pawns, or whatever. And then I also had to live with, you know, then they go off to college, and, you know, you still got to pay, and, you know, the whole money for your household, and it's just... It can be a lot of drama, but bless God that if we do it God's way, he can de-stress, you know what I mean? Sure, it's hundreds of dollars going out of the household, but for me, I had to realize that that was a child that he made before he met me. Regardless of the almost $1,000 that was leaving our household every month, I had to really live with that and not complain.
Yeah.
How can I complain when you had this child before I ever met you? You didn't go out on me and get the child. I'm not saying that would be different again. It's not the child's fault. My God, kids, they don't want to deal with this issue. They don't even want divorce. I remember telling my stepdaughter, honey, I know you want your mommy and daddy together. You're normal.
Yes.
You're not weird, you know, and... But anyway, so my point, though, other ways, too, is that this stuff is real. I had a lady today, just today, tell me that She's having a hard time with her 13-year-old son. The father won't be involved in her life to help her because her husband told her when they divorced that if he wanted the whole package. He couldn't have her. He wasn't going to deal with the son. Another lady called me. She has four children, two by this guy. One baby, the third child, she met him when the baby was young, and she is just at her wit's end. She called me. She says, she's only 22. I don't want the guy. He's cheating on me, blah, 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 but I don't want to leave him. It's just, I'm just glad that you're having the topic. We can't think that this thing is going to go away, and people do need help.
Let me interject for a minute. One reason why I decided to do this, it was more personal, but I tell people that for some reason the church is not dealing with it like it should. It has the biggest audience. It has the biggest audience in the Super Bowl. The Super Bowl is only one day a year. Church is every Sunday. So
my God.
It's not dealing with it. The government is not dealing with it because they're making too much money, and the people in the middle are angry, and they don't want to deal with it. And that's one reason that prompted me to have a show like this. I also write books on child support. If you go to the webpage, you'll see it on the Blog Talk website. But
What is the website, John?
You can go follow the link from blogtalkradio.com/JohnMack, JohnMack, and just
okay.
Click on the link. It'll take you to the website. You'll see a game. I got a game on there for married couples, and I have some books, things of that nature. But let me go back to your caller. We did a show on women living with men that are paying child support from a previous marriage or relationship. And the things that we heard was crazy how whatever one kid got in one family, the other kid wants the same thing. And it was just amazing how the some of the exes was trying to cause problems within their relationship. It had nothing to do with the kid. But the kid felt the brunt from both ends. So I sympathize with it. I take no sides in this. I'm just a platform where you can talk. If we can help you, if we can encourage you, if we can direct you the right way, that's what we're all about. So it's an issue that's not going away. And a lot of it is maturity, too. We have to be mature about these issues, like the lady said before. She sat down and worked out a plan for these kids because these kids, they're going to need help 10, 5, 6, 7 years from now. They're going to need our help, or we're going to have to be there for them. But it comes with a plan.
I agree with that, John, because my husband, Pastor Anthony, he's here also. I just want to welcome him. God bless you, honey.
God bless.
Amen. But my husband and I, when we got married, he had two sons, and they were 2 and 8 at the time we got married, and they came to live with us. You said, like you said, give him the kid, and he'll take care of the kid. That's exactly what my husband's ex-wife did, gave him the kids, and we took care of those children. And now they are 21 and 16. One is in college, and the other one is in a junior in high school. But we have given everything. Those were his kids, and they became my kids. Those are my sons. And we raised our sons, and we have a daughter together, Kayla Joy, and I had a daughter. She's 30. So we have a nice little blended family, and like you said, churches are not dealing with this. We don't give enough time to this issue. We have to let people know. One thing that our pastor did when we were coming up in the church before we went into ministry, he said, those kids are his kids. Yeah, if you're married to a man, you have to encourage him to take care of all of his kids, those that he had before you and those that he's having with you. They are still his children. And that was the best advice I could have gotten from the pulpit. You know, and it really helped me to embrace my husband's sons as my own. We don't call them step. There's no step in our language. I don't have step kids. I have sons.
You made a key point. You said that you accepted his kids as your kids. How many families do that to this day? Not that many.
Yeah.
Not that many people say, okay, well, I remarried you. I'm going to take these kids like they're mine. Because it always comes with some type of drama associated with it. So, but you have to be the bigger woman in the situation, and you have to keep your household together. I tell women, if you want him, have him take care of all his kids, and that no one may be slacking on any end. Because
at the
end of the day, when we hit our pillow, we all belong to God. These are his kids, and we're responsible for them, whether we like it or not.
Yes. And how much respect could I have for my husband? My husband's a wonderful, wonderful man of integrity, and I don't just say it because he's here. But I don't think I would have had much respect for him, and this is what Miss Quiet Storm said about you, Prophetess Lalisa, when you were talking about your husband. I don't think that we would have had as much respect for our husbands had they neglected their children.
That's right. That's right. That's right.
You want a man to run away from you? Tell him you hate his kids.
Ooh.
You put that out there, and he'll say, okay, this is a matter of time before we end this show.
I agree, because we did have a bone of contention. The only arguments that we really had in the beginning were over the children, and that was because we were learning how to blend together as a family. And, you know, when you have kids coming in that want their mommy and daddy to still be married to each other, there will be resentment against the new spouse from the kids. And you have to receive it. You have to receive that because it's not their fault. They're not even mature enough to deal with the emotions that they encounter as a result of having a new mom or a new dad in their lives. They just know that they don't want you. Send her back. I don't want her. Bring my mommy back here. And that's what I went through. But I had to die to self. I had to literally take up my cross, take the benefit of my marriage, which was huge, and die to self and say, you know what, we're going to work this out with God. My husband and I learned how to work that thing out. And that's what we have to do. If you're a single woman out there and you're listening to us, you hear our caller, he deals with this, and he has a show, listen to his show on Saturdays from 2 o'clock. But he has really brought this thing up, and you heard Lalisa Firestarter, and you've heard me, and we say, you know what, when you marry a man with kids, guaranteed you're going to go through something. Clearly, because the Bible says as a single person you're going to have troubles, but even when you get married, the trouble was double. But imagine you get married to someone and their children. Now you've got even more trouble, and you're going to have to deal with that. But with God, we can do all things through Christ Jesus.
Amen.
But we have
Amen.
To deal with it, and we have to deal with it biblically, and we have to be mature. Paul, you said mature. The problem with that is a lot of us having children and getting married with kids. You know, the young people who are immature in age, and then young Christians who are baby Christians who don't have the maturity spiritually to be able to deal with the blended family. So that's a whole nother problem.
I just wish that the church will, you know, right now I sent 150 emails out to pastors in the last 2 weeks asking them to come on the show I just want their position on child support, why they're not addressing this issue, and if they are addressing the issue, what are they doing in their church that we may be able to help other churches implement programs that, because we don't need to keep running inside the courtroom. The courtroom punish you. It ain't bringing no resolution to it. Like the lady said, her and her husband sat down. If we can just get more people just to sit down and just work this thing out, it can happen. It's possible. That's why I'm so a big advocate for the church stepping in. You don't have to do it on Sunday morning. You can do it on Wednesday night. You can do it on Thursday night. Just I offer a biblical perspective on how God expects for us to behave.
Amen.
Exactly.
Amen.
And getting past the pain, because I find a lot of women and men alike, because the pain is such a private pain, it's such a sharp pain, they don't like to bring other people in to the conversation. It's almost like what they're doing in church and what they're doing in work and what they do personally is at odds with itself, and they don't talk about certain things in certain places. And I really believe that one of the key factors for the transition that my family went through was that we talked to the pastor. We had people talk to us even before the divorce and went through the counseling. And then when it became determined that this is the outcome, we made a plan and an agreement that no matter what, we're going to take care of these kids.
Amen.
No matter what. And we still meet maybe once a week, every 2 weeks on the telephone, and we just track what's going on, what's the grades, what are the needs.
Amen. Amen. Praise God. Well, again, thank you so much, Paul, for calling in. We just appreciate your input on today's program.
Yeah.
And I will check back in another time. You guys have a blessed day. Appreciate you.
You too. God bless you, my
Keep
brother.
Up good work.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Thank you. God bless. Oh, amen. Amen. That was a spinoff from the topic that we were talking about earlier. I'm glad he called in because we need to, our goal is to edify women in every single area of life, and that definitely is an area
that's a big part with a lot of women, yes.
Wow. So, and we were also, Lanisa, before you called in, and Pastor Anthony, we were talking about the Post article. Now, Pastor Anthony, I left that for you on the table this morning, honey. Did you get a chance to read that article?
Yes, I did see it, yes.
Yeah, I mean, what was your first, what was your first impression of that?
Well, I felt outrage and even as I went to work today, I work with a lot of our Caucasian and Hispanic brothers. And, you know, they were talking about the article, but they felt such an uneasiness about this article that went forth in the Post. So it's a topic that's making people feel uncomfortable. As you said, there are a lot of good white, Spanish, you know, Asian people out. I saw a little Asian girl today with an Obama shirt on,
wow.
A T-shirt on. So this is not, like you said, the masses, this is a small remnant, and this is a very powerful paper because the New York Post is not a small thing. It's a major newspaper. So, I was pretty outraged over it, but I'm just glad sometimes the devil, you know, would rear his head, but I'm glad that it's bringing spotlight to this thing called race, as you just talked about.
Yeah. You know, it takes a lot to move me, but I got upset when I saw the picture. I didn't get that upset when I saw the article, but when I saw the picture, it pierced my heart. It really hurt me. You know, I was like, wow. Man, you know, wow.
That's all I could say, too. I said, wow, and then really. Really?
Wow.
So, you know,
probably,
it just sort of takes the wind out your sails for a moment. You go, really?
Yeah. But I thank God that we're not identified, invalidated by other people's opinions. You know, I thank God that He says, you know, that He created man, like the brother said, in His own image. Male and female created He them. And we are all created in the image of God. I thank God that we can be proud of the brown skin we're in and also the tan skin we're in. You know, we don't have to be, you know, holding our heads down because we're ashamed of the color of our skin. And I thank God that we're wonderfully and fearfully made, all of us, all of our brothers and our sisters. And I just thank God that He promotes love, you know, that He is a God who promotes love and not hate. So I'm even more so, even after this article today, even more so, I'm proud to be called by the name of Jesus Christ. I'm proud to be called Christian. I mean, especially today, I'm proud to be called Christian. Because we have the wisdom of Christ, and we know that, you know, this too, you know, even it's wickedness, and wickedness will always be in this world. But I thank God that we're not of this world. We're in this world, but we're not of this world. And Jesus prayed for us. He said, God, protect them. I'm not asking you to take them out of the world, but I'm asking you to protect them from the evil.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
So,
amen.
But it does touch our hearts, you know, to just see that this is still in the world. And I try to take a positive outlook on everything. But when I look at it, I'm like, wow, Lord, help me, Lord.
Yeah.
Help me right here, right now, to forgive.
Amen.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You know, and it just tells us, you know, we have one thing we always have as believers is job security. We got a work to do. We got a lot more work to do. When I see things like that, it doesn't take me from an aspect of, Tina, this is how, you know, it's not me, you know, because I know who I am in Christ Jesus. I know who my Father is. It's just, wow, we still have a lot of work to do because that's a major media publication. So there's kids in schools that are required to read the Post. There are people who are reading the Post as a representation of American news. There are people who are looking at it from a media standpoint because I'm in media full time. This is what I do, that we have to look at it as, what's in the minds of the people?
Mm-hmm.
You know, how do we pray for people in this time? There are many people offended, many, many people offended by it. And how do we address this in the mind of Christ, with the mind of Christ? You know, and that's how I looked at it. I looked at it, I was like, wow, we got job security for sure, because there is still a lot of work to do.
And the Post editors, they think it's fine. They said it's just a parody. You know, it's fine. You know, it's no big deal. You know, but, you know, when you look at it, it's like, it's obvious that it's just animosity towards Barack Obama, mm-hmm. President Barack mm-hmm. Obama, you know. And then when you tie that monkey thing in, it's like, you know, what gives?
Right, right. Mm-hmm. And, it just basically boils down to it being a reality. This thing is still yet real. We have a lot of people that have worked and paved the way for years.
Yeah.
For years, our great ancestors and, you know, Dr. Martin Luther King, up until this time, but it's still so real.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And that is not the voice of the many, many, many people of many, many races. You know, that's just that person's opinion and unfortunately has the power of the press.
Right. Because I wouldn't have wanted to push the button to print anything like that.
No.
Yeah. Yes.
That not if you have a heart.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, that's just crazy.
Or even to buy it, you know, so many people now out of curiosity want to buy the publication. I'm like, no, you don't even have to buy it. It's on the internet. It's free.
Yeah, go ahead. I just placed a link of the picture in the chat room
for all those who are interested in seeing it. And it's a reality check that we have a lot to do. We have a lot of work to do. We only have 3 minutes left. And, you know, the broadcast today took a sober turn. But the thing about it is we can't always be jumping up and down and clapping our hands with glee, because Jesus, he got upset about stuff like this, you know.
Mm-hmm.
He turned over tables, you know. Jesus expressed righteous indignation, you know. He was like, no, this won't be so. My Father's house shall be a house of prayer. And what we have to realize is that we can't go along with the program at all times. We have to speak out, and that's what we're doing today. We're speaking out, and we're just saying it's not right. Hatred is not right. Racism is not right. You know, animosity against somebody, white supremacy, black supremacy, racial supremacy of any type is not right. And we just need to just go back on our knees and pray and ask God to help us to love and to help us to even forgive those who hate us, you know, because of the color of our skin. But to also be verbal enough to say, you know, well, I'm not going to buy the Post. We need to boycott the Post, you know. We got to do, mm-hmm. What can we do other than pray? We have to pray.
Hmm.
Yes.
But, you know, I won't be spending my money buying the Post.
No.
Not at
anyway.
All. And then they'll get a spike in sales today just from curiosity and with what's happening in the publishing game right now. That may have just been their objective.
Yeah, well. Anyway, their objective was the enemy's objective, Satan's objective was to spill over hate and to plant seeds of violence into the hearts of people who might be crazy enough to try to follow through on those seeds that have been planted. But we rebuke it right now in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. We come against any satanic attack that will come against President Barack Obama and his family. In the name of Jesus. We bind up the hand of Satan right now in the name of Jesus. And we declare total safety for him, his wife, and his children in the name of Jesus. We come against white supremacy in the name of Jesus. Any kind of prejudices and racism. We come against that demonic seed and that demonic attack against black people in the name of Jesus. And even repercussion from black people against white people. We come against that right now in the name of Jesus, and we declare peace in the land in Jesus' name.
Thank you, God.
Amen. Hallelujah. My God, we got to pray, ladies.
Yes.
Pray.
So much.
We're out of time. We have 51 seconds. Anybody, go ahead. God bless you all. Thank you all for listening. Prophetess, do you have anything you want to say before we go off the air?
No, we just have to remember that, you know, there's just so much to pray for. We always have to be in a position of interceding, and this is definitely a hot topic, you know, to put on our list.
Yes.
Yes, praise God. Praise God. And I thank God for the promise, right, the word that says We know that that's sickness in the land, that's sickness in people's minds. But the word gives us a promise that says, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways. That means we, in the, as the church, need to turn around and say that's wrong within our own lives, and we're drawing a border. Then he will hear from heaven. Then he will heal us from heaven. So we have a promise that as we get on our face before God and humble ourselves before his mighty hand and say, no, that's not going to happen in our house. We're going to bless the Lord, that the land will get healed and those things will continue to change.
Amen.
Amen. And I believe that prayer changes things. And it changes things. And we're off the air. And God bless you all. You know, have a great day. In spite of the wickedness in the world, have a great day.
Amen.
You know,
praise
have
God.
A great day. And praise the Lord all the way through. Yet will we praise him. Yet will we magnify his name. So go ahead and have a great day. I love you both.
Love you too.
Amen. Amen.
Amen. And we'll see you next time. God bless you.
God bless you.
God bless
you.
Thank you.